we have my favorite people, some of the people that all of us grew up in aviation, learning how to fly with, doing our ground schools, Martha King and John King, the founders of King Schools. Thank you so much for coming to see us at EAA Radio, Martha. How are you today?
Doing fine and just really enjoying the fabulous time here at Air Venture like we do every year.
Oh, Air Venture 2019 is going to go in the record books, and not just for being the 50th anniversary. How many Air Ventures have you done, John?
Oh, I don't know. 40, probably more, maybe more than that. I really don't know. I'm a slow learner, and I just don't recall.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I actually have an interview with somebody who was here 50 years ago, and he brought the same airplane back.
Oh wow, can you believe that's
quite a deal.
Yeah, that is so cool. So, you know, we've been working on attitude adjustment all week, talking about where the future of aviation is going. And as flight training specialists, I wanted to ask you guys the same question. Where do you think things are going here, both with finding new people to be in general aviation and how general aviation is changing?
Well, general aviation is changing by technology, and we have GPS, navigation systems, electronic flight bags on our iPads. Better information, better planning, better information in the air. It's just incredible. Aerodynamics is not changing much, but boy, the way we use it sure is.
But something else that is changing, though, is the mix of people going for careers in aviation, as specifically with the airlines, versus people learning to fly just for the fun of it. And I'm sure that it will that it's a cycle, a wave that will change. But for right now, a lot of flight schools are very tightly focused on career-oriented learners who want to get through their training, are willing to be there 5-6 days a week and really hit it hard. And a number of flight schools have told us that they don't take people who want to learn to who want to learn to fly just for the fun of it, because they've got such a tight schedule with all these career people, and airplanes are in short supply, instructors are in short supply. It just messes up their schedule and their system for getting the career people through and on their way.
Ooh, that's a problem to me. I don't like the sound of that.
It is.
So I think that probably training for the person who wants to fly for fun, a lot of that will probably come through flying clubs and also independent instructors. But there's a big growth in flying clubs, helped in large part, I think, by AOPA's efforts in that way. And I think that will be a big, big source for the people who want to fly for fun.
Yeah, and the interesting thing is that we're going to have a shortage of flight instructors. We're going to have a shortage of training airplanes, because there's just a tremendous demand created by this desire for people to go learn to fly for the airlines.
What do you think about the training airplanes coming up? I got to speak with George Bai of Bai Aerospace, and he's absolutely certain that his eFlyer 2 can solve some tremendous problems that we've had recently with the shortage of trainers.
Is he thinking about what the cost of flying?
Big time with the cost.
Or just about the availability of airframes.
And airframes. So he's got 600 MOUs and hard deposits right now, a combination of which, and most are with flight schools, because he's talking about a 3-hour flight time duration and a 20-minute recharge, and you're really talking about a couple dollars a flight.
Yeah, it lowers the cost.
It lowers the cost tremendously.
Seriously. Right.
Because cost is something that's holding back the whole industry from people getting into it.
Right. In terms of the local flight training that you do, the local component, that sounds like a fabulous arrangement. The the issue to me will be infrastructure when you want people to get out and do it cross countries, and perhaps not the cross countries for private, but when you get into the long cross countries for the instrument people and the commercial people, it may be that for the flight school, what they have to do is establish charging stations at other airports that rather than their in addition to their home base, and that might be a way to go. But I see infrastructure as a big deal, and I don't know how expensive, maybe you do, the charging stations are that can accomplish that charging in 20 minutes.
I'm with you. I also feel that infrastructure is a problem, but I felt that way about the Tesla, and they seem to prove me wrong.
Well, is there still? But you know, the Tesla company has never made a profit.
Well, I understand that.
So what's the long-term future of where the sole participant has never made a profit? And I don't think, you know, Tesla, you might be able to get away with that because they're cars. But where's the money going to come from if they can't make a profit doing it?
I understand completely.
Aviation's pretty thin, you know, we don't.
So we have to look at companies like the Texas Aircraft Company, which is coming out with their little Colt, which looks like a really, it's a Brazilian, the people that are putting this together are a combination of Brazilians and Americans, but
right.
They're building it in the U.S., and it's a fabulous little airplane. Looks a little bit like a Technam, but, you know, everything looks about the same at a certain level.
Everything looks like a Technam, huh?
The fit and finish on it is very nice, though, and the price point is about where a trainer should be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know.
Can you remind me what the price point is on that?
It's under $200.
I think you mean thousands, right?
thousands. That's exactly right. I'm trying to be kind here, guys.
$200, that's not bad. I'd go $300.
Yeah.
But that's getting training airplanes back in the price range that is good for flight schools as opposed to major universities and so on, because it's... At the prices a lot of trainers are going for, it's hard to make money with it.
Oh, that's absolutely true. And I know Simon Caldicott at Piper is very happy because he's also got hundreds of orders for trainers, and they're pumping them out. But those still are a lot like the trainer that you and I used, right?
They look
right.
A lot like it, don't they?
Yeah. They do. They do. So, you know, I ask myself, is it propulsion that's the answer? Do we change that? Do we change our techniques? You guys have gone on all online with all of your products for training. Has that helped people?
Oh, I think it's made access, made them more accessible. Yeah, I think so. Martha, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, the online, as John says, has made the program much more accessible to people, and it's also been enabled us to hold the cost down, because there's a lot involved in development not only of the course but also the software to host it online. But you don't have physical books and tapes and stuff like that that you have to deliver, so that the costs shift around. One of the problems with training planes, you say that they look a lot like what we learn to fly in. The problem is the aerodynamics aren't changing, and so that tends to imply that the airplanes are all going to look about the same because they've got the same job to do, and propulsion is probably going to be the answer. Of course, where the biggest changes have taken place, the difference between the Cherokee 140 that John and I bought to learn to fly in and the planes that Piper is selling today and new 172s is the incredible avionics that they've got with a moving map and the terrain and the onboard weather and the navigation databases and all of that, which make the actual flying part so much easier.
We've got better tools for managing risk than we used to have, and our outcomes are going to be better than they used to be.
Well, I would agree with you, but I also think that puts the onus on the flight instructor very early on to teach that risk management?
Well, we're now requiring scenario-based training in many parts of the aviation community, and people taking check rides now are going to have to be able to demonstrate their ability to identify and mitigate risk, and we have these wonderful tools for it. If you look at the fatality rate per 100,000 hours, there is a big inflection point about 3 years ago when we started doing scenario-based training, and I think we can demonstrate that we're getting better.
That's what I like to hear, that we're getting better, that we're getting the message across. Mm-hmm. That's where you look at that data. It feels so slow, but I think it's changing.
Right, and that came, we've been teaching recently in the Cessna program and in King Schools programs, the scenario-based training, but they just started this 3 years ago or that John's talking about, testing for it in the private and then in the instrument and now in the commercial practical tests. And as you know, when they start testing on it, people start focusing on it. Instructors are teaching it better. Obviously, students are learning better, and we're delighted at the improvement in the accident rate.
Yeah, the saddest thing ever is when you see somebody who has just gotten that ticket go out and find themselves in a position where they either, the best scenario is they just scare themselves, but the worst scenario is that there's an accident, even a fatality.
Yeah.
It breaks my heart every time I see it.
We're going to get better at it, and we are getting better at it. We can demonstrate it.
Yeah, I love what ADS-B has done for the cockpit. I have no problem with the 2020 deadline. I don't know about you guys, but...
We're equipped.
Yeah, you're equipped. I'm equipped.
No, it's a good thing. It's the right thing.
Yeah. And now we really, I think we're at the point where the price point's not going to get any lower.
Yeah. You know? Right.
We're T-minus 6 months.
Yeah, yeah.
And now I'm listening to people have these discussions. Well, I'm not going to equip because I'm not going to fly in that airspace. And I tell them, I think you're fooling yourself.
What could you use your airplane for if you can't fly in that airspace?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Well, I wanted to ask you where people can find King Schools here on the field at AirVenture 2019.
Well, we don't have a booth, but John and I are giving a talk. We've given several talks, and they can always find us online at kingschools.com.
Kingschools.com. Martha, John, thank you for taking the time to come over to EAA Radio and speak with us. We are delighted to have you here.
Thank you very much for having
Thanks
us.
Thanks for making it fun and easy, Amy.
You got it.